Family, the bedrock of society, an important influence to children that helps shape their perspective of life as they grow up. It helps in building their confidence, shaping their beliefs, values, and more importantly, helps them to become what God has ordained them to be. The dynamics of the family circle cannot be overemphasized. It plays a key role in our social interactions as adults and as children. And because of its domino effect in our lives, we need to pay attention to it and be heavily invested in building a healthy, strong family with the goal of raising better children, building healthy relationships between spouses, but more importantly, in building a better society across all nations. Get ready to explore and learn with Pastor Fumi Alawale on the subject of family dynamics and its impact in our lives.
Hello, good day everyone. Hope your week has been great and you are enjoying the sun like we are in UK. Few weeks ago, we started on building your marriage series and ideas for enhancing your marriage. And we are continuing with that. This will now be the part three of it. I believe God has been ministering to us and is helping us to build our homes. And we'll have a good home to the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Shall we just pray a short prayer together? Father, we thank you for bringing us together again to Family Dynamics with Pastor Fumi. Thank you for what you have set out to do with our marriages and our homes. Thank you for helping us to be that which you desire that we have, even in relation to our marriages. We ask, oh God, as we go through this session, that the Spirit of God will help us. We will see where our fault lies and we'll be able to make corrections in the name of Jesus. Thank you for grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to be continuing on the series we started on building your marriage series and ideas for enhancing your marriage. Last week we were looking at communication, the importance of communication, different aspects of communication. There's no problem in marriage once we are able to communicate with one another. The problem is self-solved. So it's important that we take note of that. Today we are continuing on this series again. This will now be the part three of what we started. So the first thing we're going to be looking at is the need to make time for your marriage. This is especially after children have entered the marriage. This is so, so important. The tendency is when you have 1-2 children, the tendency is to forget that your husband is there. And this is very, very common with us as women. We pour all our love on the child or the children to the point that the husband feels neglected. So it is important for us to make time and space for our marriages to thrive. Create time for each other. And especially if both of you have busy lives, you can schedule time together. You can plan and say, okay, Tuesday night will be our time together. And nothing will change that. No meeting is so important that you will have to cancel. And so it's important that we make up our mind to spend time together. There are a few things that we need to continue to do. When we're in courtship, you date each other, you take each other out. Dating night should continue. Dating night is like a fun night. You have fun together. You go out for a meal. You may go out for a walk or movie. You can go out for a movie night, watching movie. It's just purely for pleasure, nothing more. If you can, you can make it a whole weekend or even longer if you have the time. Maybe get some days off work where you can be together. This will help to strengthen your relationship as husband and wife. And dating is not just for when you are courting the woman or when you want to woo her to marry you, but it's something that has to continue in marriage relationship. Another important thing that we need to create time for is planning times. These are effectively business meetings. These are when you sit down and discuss on how things are going, when you review matters, when you plan for future. It may be to discuss the school of the children. It may be to discuss maybe what can we do to refurbish our house? Or it may be about investment, something, you know, it may even be planning holiday for the future. So even though it's a marriage business times, it still has to be a laid back and relaxing time. Another important one is the problem management one. These are sessions where you specifically sit down and look at specific issues, specific problems that you have to deal with. It may be that your finances is in a mess, or it may be that in-laws are having issues with your wife or your husband, or it's a type of meeting that we may create tension, may create rows. It has potential for strife, but it has to be done. It's important no matter how difficult what you are looking to discuss is. Because when you put things under carpet, I was reading a book that said conflict. It was talking about conflict resolution. And it talks about the fact that conflict is little problems here and there that we have refused to deal with, but we have put under the carpet. So by the time it gets to that point where it has to be sorted, it becomes very, very difficult to deal with. So this is the time to do such things. When you neglect issues, it will not go away. It will not go away. It will come up again at some point, and at which time is harder to deal with. So conflict is accumulation of problems. We should not allow problems to accumulate, but deal with it as it comes. When you say, okay, my dear, the way you spoke the last time, I didn't understand, I don't like it. Why did you speak to me like that? You can sort it out immediately before you start saying, oh, this was what you did 2 weeks ago, and then it becomes a lot of problems. The principle of Parkinson's law says that work expands to fill the time available for its completion. So this also applies to marriage. Deliberate action has to be taken. So trivial matters don't creep in and fill the time that you have together. So you need to do something about your time. So make time for your marriage, plan together, solve problems, and also keep dating one another as much as possible. The next thing we'll be looking at is learn to understand each other. This is so, so important. There are many, many behavioral differences between men and women. We are so different from one another. And that's the way God created us. If you don't understand women as a man, you have problems. And if you don't understand a man who is your husband, you will have a lot of issues because you will look at problems or issues based on your own point of view. And when that is done, it creates a lot of problems. So, for example, women, the way we can multitask. Men are not like that. Men face one single action and finish it before they. You can see a woman cooking, at the same time speaking on the phone to a friend, at the same time looking after the baby. But that is the way we are created. That is who we are. And so if you now compare yourself with a man, okay, your husband is helping you to cook rice. And you now say, oh, please, as you cook the rice, watch the child for me. I quickly want to dash out to the shop. The rice will be burnt or the child will be neglected. And it will lead to problems. But when we understand that men can only do one thing at a time, it will help us to. So there is need to learn to understand each other. Knowing and recognizing the differences will help us understand the individual spouses so that we can destroy the myth that says men and women are the same. We are the same. There's nothing different. We are alike. We are not. Physiologically, we are not. Psychologically, we are not. Emotionally, we are different from each other. And so when we understand this, it will help us to deal with one another and it will help our home building. So men and women are different, but we are complementary to one another. Psychologically, when you take a plug and fit it into a socket, that is the way you can look at men and women when we're in a relationship. The gender differences, as it is, should not in any way be barriers between us, but instead it should help us become better couple working together to ensure that our home is what we want it to be. And apart from that, everyone is different. I'm unique, you're unique. Everyone is different. There's no two people on the surface of the earth that are the same. So the best thing is to assume that your spouse is different. And so to be on the look for those differences. Look out for the differences between you and your husband. And so you can help to, you know, make use of those differences to benefit your marriage relationship. Another important thing that we need to look at is think long term. A lot of time these days, we are into microwave thing. Get it, you know, instant. Everything is instant. I want it now. I want it and I want it now. Why wait for tomorrow when I can have it today? That is the world we are in today. And some of this, these are the slogans that we find with people. You want to, there's walk-through, drive-through for coffee, drive-through for McDonald's, drive-through for everything. You don't need to wait. You just go through, get what you want and go. But that does not work with marriage. And if we allow this to filter into our marriages, instant results, instant gratification, and when these are not forthcoming, it leads to frustration and stress. If we allow that to happen, if you think, when I want it, that is what I want now, and I must have it, it will lead to frustration. It will also lead to stress. So marriage is a long-term project. It's not sprint, it's a marathon. And we need to have this mentality of a permanent lifetime commitment. That's what God wants it to be. It's not if it works fine, if it doesn't work, I walk out on it. It is a permanent relationship. It's a long-term project. You know, the view of marriage being a long-term project will help two people to look forward, two people involved in a relationship to keep working at it, to keep hoping that things will get better, to keep trusting that we are just getting to know each other, we'll become friends, things will get better, and we will not be disappointed. If maybe 2 weeks down the line after marriage, or even 1 month, or even 1 year, things are not what you expected. But as we get to know each other, day in, day out, we begin to understand each other. We begin to develop friendship and things begin to get better. And that's why if you work at your marriage, if you don't give up on it, it will yield good dividends over time. It takes a lot of working at it. It takes a lot of understanding each other. It takes a lot of hoping and trusting that things will get better. Because these are two people from two different backgrounds coming together in marriage. And so you don't know each other, even courtship time, no matter how long it is, you're still not able to know each other. So if you think that you're now living together, you are real, you can see each other the way it is, you don't need to hide, you don't need to pretend anymore, then things get better, because that is how friendship develops. And so it's so important that we know that we are not to give up, but to keep working on our marriage. So, so key. We need to keep working at it, keep trusting God, keep believing together, keep for what the Bible says is that God has a great future for us. The Bible said the plan of God for us is for good and not for evil, to give us the expected end. There is that expected end, which is for good. So things may not be as you may be a lot of time, there's so many wrong assumptions before we get married. Oh, this man is a man of God. He's Holy Spirit. You know, when he leads prayer, he will not be leading prayer like he will do on the altar in the home. He will not be singing like he was singing on the altar when you saw him. You are not going to marry a singer. You are going to marry the real man, the real woman. And so you see each other the way you are. And so as you do that, you begin to understand each other. You begin to know that things will get better over time. And as you work on your marriage, you have a great reward for it. So keep working on. Another thing that is important is think of a marriage as a teamwork. It's a teamwork. The society we have today tends towards individualism. I was in the shopping mall one of the days on the queue to pay for what I've bought, and I saw this couple. You know, they've been holding hands, you know, and all that and all that. When you go to them paying for what they bought, this one puts few things on the desk and pay for it. Another one puts few things and pay for it. I was just wondering, what is going on here? But that's not the way I see marriage. So marriage is much, much more than two individuals that have agreed to live together as husband and wife. The unity in marriage is real. Two actually becoming one. We talk we, not you or me, not he or she. So to encourage the unity of marriage relationship, we need to think of marriage as a team. You are a team together. Two becoming one. You are not two individuals sharing the bed, sharing surname, sharing postal address. No, it's much more than that. You need to know that you are a team that shared mutual concern and interlocked future. Your future is interlocked. What hurts you hurts your spouse. When you're not happy, your spouse is not happy. Your priority is to put the interest of the team first over your own interest. The good of the marriage first before the good of the individual and the team. So marriage is about two people who are interdependent rather than independent. So you are no longer independent. You cannot just carry your bag and go somewhere without discussing with your spouse. It's a time to sit down and say, you know what, I want to go and see my parents. What do you think? And I will stay for 1 week. It's a time you need to talk to one another. You're no longer independent. You are interdependent, and that is important. So think of marriage as a team. And when we do that, it will go a long way to help us to enjoy and build that marriage that we desire. Another important thing is, admit your mistakes and forgive theirs. I think there must be, I'm looking forward to an opportunity when we have time to really, really talk on forgiveness. In marriage, we make mistakes. We do wrong things. We cannot but step on each other's toes because we are two different people living under the same roof 24/7. So when we make a mistake or do something wrong, it's important that we don't hide it. Because if we hide it, it's not helpful in marriage relationship. Also, we don't blame the other person. Say, it's because of the way you spoke with me, or it's because of what you said that made me do what I did. No, don't blame each other. When you do blame game, it's positively harmed the relationship. It's very harmful. Instead, you admit it. Admit that you are wrong. When you admit that you are wrong, I know it's difficult to admit that you are wrong. But it's so helpful when you admit that you are wrong, you are able to resolve conflicts and you are able to, you know, work on issues that have come up. But if you don't admit it, it's a problem. So people will admit their mistakes, especially when it comes to husband and wife relationship. When you know that, if I tell my husband this is what happened and say the whole truth to him, he's there to forgive me. He's there to support me, not to condemn me. This is what you do all the time. Why? Da, 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 da. You know? But a lot of time, people don't want to admit they're guilty because they know that my partner, my spouse, will blame me for it. So we need to develop this attitude of forgiveness. When you know that there is the likelihood of forgiveness in relationship, you'll be free to talk to your spouse and say, darling, you know what? This is what happened. I don't know. I just slept off while cooking and the whole thing got burnt. So the dynamics of marriage will be affected if forgiveness does not exist in marriage. Forgiveness is so, so important in marriage. When there is atmosphere of forgiveness and acceptance, there will be freedom for both parties to say, to confess to what has been done and to be forgiven by the other partner. The issue will be resolved and then we can move forward. So that's why the attitude of forgiveness and acceptance is so, so key in marriage. We need to be able to admit our mistakes and to be able to forgive their own mistakes. As believers in Christ, we know that we have sinned against God. We committed sin against God. We rejected Him. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus came and died for us. And so we receive forgiveness through the death of Christ on the cross of Christ, on the cross of Calvary. So if Christ could forgive us, there's nothing your partner, who is part of your body, who is you, we are now one, we do, and you won't be able to let go. So we need to ask for grace to be able to forgive one another and to be able to help one another to grow. So at some point, as we continue in family dynamics, I'm looking forward to a time when we have a lot of opportunity. It'd be a good time to discuss forgiveness in marriage. It's so, so important, because without forgiving one another, the Bible even said we cannot receive forgiveness of God. And unforgiveness opens the door of our home to the enemy to come in, because unforgiveness is a sin against God. And where there is sin, the devil has the authority to come in and say, this is me now. And then we will not be able to fight the devil. But God will help us to be able to develop that attitude, that grace to forgive others and to let go of their offenses. Another thing is beware of complacency. This is a deadly enemy to marriage. Deadly enemy of marriage. It's very, very dangerous because it creeps in slowly. It creeps in subtly and may not even be detected on time. So it's so easy to take one another for granted. Your husband has just come in from work. You're on the phone to a friend. The tendency of, it's my husband, he won't mind. It's my wife, she won't mind. And then you continue on the phone for another 30 minutes, not thinking of, oh, let me welcome this man. Let me give him food. Or let me just, you know, respect him, kind of. So we need to know. We don't assume. You don't assume that, oh, my husband will understand. I'm at work or I'm going out with a friend. I normally get home for 6, but I've gone out with my friend. I forgot to text him. My husband will understand. Don't forget about it. I'll just tell him when we went out. It's important that we don't assume he will understand. That sometimes we say, oh, it's never occurred to me to say such things to you. Those are ways by which we allow complacency to come into our relationship. And this is so, so important when there is a long-standing, successful marriages. It's so easy for complacency to come in than for troubled marriages. So to prevent it, we must do regular checks, regular checkups as couples. You must meet. I know a couple, they meet weekly and say, is there anything I did this week that you don't like? And that has helped them. So we need to do regular checkups. If we do regular health checkups, we need to do regular health checkups for our marriage. Work at appreciating each other. Compliment each other. Learn to say thank you. Little, little things. Appreciate one another. Say thank you. The way we treat outsiders sometimes, we respect outsiders. But if it's our spouse, you look down. And don't worry, it's my wife. She will understand. Another thing that we need to quickly talk about before our time goes, stay real. Don't assume things are fine. It's important to constantly check the health of your marriage. Regular checks, so, so important. We need to attend marriage seminars because you can learn from it. We can learn from the experiences of others. You need to talk to each other. You know, this is the way I feel. What you said, I don't like it. You know, keep talking, keep communicating. You read books on marriages, so, so important. Don't lose the sense of where you are and where you're going. There's a colleague of mine at work. She lost 25 years of marriage. The man just walked out. She didn't know what was wrong. She didn't know what she did that was wrong. The man just walked away. So we need to be real We need to do check up all the time. Be friends to one another. And also have friends, have mentors, people that you can, that maybe they are older than you, they can talk to you. They can see things before it happens. Because you may not be able to see your own blind spot, but they can see, oh, the way you are talking to him. Like, I remember one time when I did something to my husband. I just assume it's okay. My mom called me and said, "Fumi, what you said is not good. Go and apologize to him now, now, now." And it was then I realized the way I said it. And I said, "Okay, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't know. I just, you know." So some people may see our blind spots. We may not see it. And that's why we need to allow friends, good friends around us that can tell us off when we are wrong. And lastly, but not the least, love and keep loving each other. We will need to talk about love in a greater deal at some point. So love is key. That's why the Bible said, "Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church." Because God knows that it's difficult for a man to love. It's easy for women to love. We may not find it easy to respect, but we can love. So please, love is key. It's one of the key ingredients that keeps marriage relationship going. Our time is up, and I believe that God will reach out to us and help us understand all these things that we've talked about. Go back to it, keep listening to it, and your marriage will not be the same again. God bless you. See you again on my next episode. Have a good day. God bless.